Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. It is our final edition of the show of the year 2021, a year that many of us probably want to forget in real life. But today on this show, we're going to point out some of the good things that happened in the world of pro wrestling. My name is Jason Agnew, and this is Sunday night's main event, Canada's wrestling radio show, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Check them out at greatlakesbeer.com. Today on the show, as I mentioned, it's our best of 2021 special. We do this each and every year, and have been doing so for the last 20 years or so. I'll be joined by all of my podcast partners. That is, of course, Mark Andrada from the Midweek Markout, Dan Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo from our AEW Dynamite coverage. And along with that, joining us this year for the very first time, Boris Aguilar, who is our host of NXT Talk and BAM Weekly. All of these podcasts that I'm mentioning, by the way, are available on our Patreon podcast service, which you can find at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And why do you want to do that? Well, we're going to be here for an hour chatting best and worst, but there's this entire show, which is about 2 hours long, and you can get it on our Patreon. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio, and you also get podcasts each and every day with all of the various voices you're about to hear on today's show. So a break, and then we'll be back. The five of us doing a roundtable, looking back at the year 2021 in the world of pro wrestling. This is Sunday night's main event, and you're listening to it on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged, for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants. Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle, RK-Bro, Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Great seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
Okay, guys, it is our, well, this will be our best of show. We always start with the positive to end out the year. Right around Christmas time is when we're going to put this online. So with that in mind, the five of us have gathered, of course, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, Mark Andrada, and this year, because he has become like the matrix of Sunday night's main event, Boris Aguilar joins us as well. Boris, this is your first go round with your best and worst stuff picks. How was the selection process for you remembering back a whole year?
It was, you know, there was a few things, especially at the beginning of the year, that I forgot about. So I kind of had to dig through the memories, dig through some funny enough notes from like the various podcasts I've been in. But overall, it was quite easy. I filled out my ballot pretty quick.
Did you, you've done this for 20 years now. How is this year in comparison to others? Was it hard? Was it easy? I kind of find one company's on one sheet and one company's on the other sheet.
And there you go. Jay just gave a spoiler for the whole show now there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the one thing that I do every year, Jay, when you send out the categories, is the first thing I do is I open it and I instantly drop in the ones that instantly come to mind. Because there's always a few where you go, yes, bang, 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 bang. And yeah, a lot of them got filled right out of the gate on this one. I had a couple where I waffled back and forth, and especially best wrestler. I went back and forth on best wrestler a lot. Mm-hmm. This year, mm-hmm. trying to figure out who it would be. A lot of them, you're just like, okay, easy, 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 just because it is two diverse companies giving us two diverse kind of things here.
Joe, was the struggle real for you this year, or was it pretty much out of all your categories, best and worst, we probably have about 40 categories. What percentage would you say were just instantaneous? I got this.
To be honest with you, most of the best of I had pretty much picked, I'm going to say, a couple months ago.
Filipino positivity.
Hell yeah. Now, here's the thing, though, to balance that out, I had a really hard time with the worst of stuff. Seriously, because I just don't like picking, you know, worst this, worst that. Now, that said, I did do it. But there's still one worst of category that I have absolutely no clue. I'm going to gauge the room when we get there.
It's pretty funny having you in this mix and doing shows now with Mike McGuire. Mike's not in this because he hasn't been around with us for the whole year. Believe me, he'll be in here next year. But he always tends to look for the positive as well. So we have a bunch of positive people. Now, Mark, as you made your picks, I mean, you and I do Raw each and every week, that 3 hours. I am wondering how much, if any, we're going to hear on this particular edition of the show being the best of. How much are you going to lean in, dare I say, Andrada?
Oh, there were so many good things on Raw this year. Raw was, we were lousy with good things on Raw.
We were lousy with good things. Never has it been said better.
Yeah, there were so many. It's an embarrassment of riches. So I can't wait to tell you what my picks are.
I agree about the embarrassment. I'm not 100% sure on the riches. nonetheless, let's get into it. So best wrestler, we will get into our first category. It's always where we begin. And appropriately enough, Mouth, I mean, you just said you had a tough time picking this. So last year, I have the categories in front of me. Last year, Mouth, you had Jon Moxley. I had Kenny Omega. Joe, you had Jon Moxley. Mark, you had Jon Moxley as well. The patrons picked Jon Moxley. So where did you go this year?
Well, you can't pick Moxley this year because he pulled himself out of it partway through the year. So he kind of disqualified himself. I picked MJF. I just thought he had an amazing year, that great big long angle with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle, the Labors of Jericho, the little feud with Darby. A lot of people thought the match with Darby at Full Gear was match of the year. Now he's got the thing going on with Punk and a clear movement towards the title. Of course, he's amazing on the microphone. Plus, he was really, as I mentioned with Moxley, he was the one guy that was kind of there all year. He was, and really was one of the biggest angles of the entire promotion. And he truly is a pillar of AEW. So that's my pick.
All right, Boris, to you for best wrestler.
See, I'm going to have to pick someone who was an impact player for two brands, two promotions, and that's Bryan Danielson. He just absolutely killed it both in WWE and AEW. He main evented WrestleMania, main evented, had fantastic matches in AEW so far. So how can you not say Bryan Danielson when he just absolutely demolished it in two promotions?
From there, we go to Joe.
100% agree with Boris. I had Daniel Bryan / Bryan Danielson. Dude wrestled the who's who in WWE and AEW, at high level matches. And as Boris said, you know, he main evented WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, and he had, potentially two match of the year candidates with, you know, the AEW world champions at the time, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. So how can you not pick this guy?
And Mark, to round things out, your best wrestler.
Yeah, I wish I could be controversial here, but really, Bryan Danielson is the one. For all the reasons that were already mentioned, but also, I will say, to service the fans and wrestling in general, the decision made to go from WWE to AEW, I mean, it's no secret he said he thought it was best for the whole business. And, I mean, obviously it's proving to be true.
My pick on this one is actually different. I am going to pick exactly who I picked last year, and that's Kenny Omega. I mean, the guy wrestled through a whole bunch of injuries and still put out great matches. And the patrons survey, which, by the way, we'll do each and every one of these. We have the patron survey. You guys all submitted your best of and worst of, and Boris was nice enough to tally it as an initiation, as he shakes his head right now, as an initiation to his first year. For the record, he volunteered because he's off work right now. Yeah. The patrons picked Kenny Omega. 42% of you did. Brian Danielson came in at 2 with 25%, and Roman Reigns is on here with 10% of the votes for best wrestler of 2021. Now that's on the male side of things. So let's go to the female side of things for our second category. Last year, best wrestler female. Mouth, you picked Bayley. I picked Bayley. Joe, you had Bayley. And Mark, you had Asuka last year. The patrons also picked Bayley. That's a name that we're simply not going to hear this year.
Nope.
Because she's been out of the majority of the year. So for this one, let's kick it off with Boris, best wrestler on the female side of things this year.
This is actually a category that I struggled big time overall with. I was tossing and turning, even when I did other ballots for even like slamwrestling.net, just a cheap plug there. I really did struggle, but this person has been competing on different promotions, two countries, held the main title in AAA and Impact, and that's Deonna Purrazzo.
Wow. Deonna Purrazzo as the pick there. Yeah, she has been all over the map. The one thing I'd say working against her is a bit of TV time because she's not in the major two that's on TV. Okay, from there, let's go to Joe for the second pick of the best wrestler female.
Actually, first of all, Deonna Purrazzo, that's an excellent pick, Boris. Nicely done. I actually had this between Bianca Belair and Britt Baker, but ultimately I chose Britt Baker. I thought Bianca had a great sort of start of the year, but I thought Britt was more solid throughout the entire year. And I think the thing that elevated her was her promos. And then on top of that, she main evented 3 Rampages, including the very first episode. She main evented 2 Dynamites, and one of them being the New York show. And then the other one being another potential match of the year candidate with Thunder Rosa during the St. Patrick's Day Slam.
All right, Mark, where do you go for female performer of the year?
Yeah, I struggled with this one too, only because of the TV time given to some of the women. You know, AEW doesn't give all the time. WWE absolutely does. So for that, it was kind of easy to pick Bianca Belair, but I didn't pick Bianca Belair. That was my very, very close number two. My number one, I just couldn't go in another direction, Thunder Rosa. Every single time I saw Thunder Rosa on television or online, Thunder Rosa was hitting one-handed home runs every time. For that, Thunder Rosa for me.
Yeah, I actually had that written down for you before you even said it. I will say I agree with you as well. I know you think she's great. I think she's great as well. And I think she was key to making Britt Baker look exceptional this year as well, which is why I'll throw my pick into Thunder Rosa as well. Mouth to cap things off.
And I'll make it a 3 in a row. I picked Thunder Rosa as well. I just thought exactly. She has amazing in-ring matches. She did have the great match with Britt Baker. She's just, to me, she's such an asset to AEW. And I would hope that this year she's going to become even more a bigger part of the women's division.
I'd say next year we're sitting here and if she doesn't have the gold next year, she has had it already.
Right.
2021, I think. She will be the one to dethrone Britt Baker. As far as our patrons go, Britt Baker, number one, 56% of patrons chose Britt Baker, 12% chose Thunder Rosa, 5%. WWE's on the board with Charlotte Flair, and Deonna Purrazzo did come in with 4%, tied with Becky Lynch for fourth place. Best tag team is where we go to next. Last year, for best tag team, I picked the Golden Role Models. Mouth, you had the Best Friends. Joe, you had the Best Friends. And Mark, you had the Lucha Brothers. So where do we go to for this year? And we'll kick things off with Mouth.
This was another tough one for me, because I mean, there's just so many. I mean, I love the audacity of the Bucks as heels. I love the acrobatic craziness of the Lucha Brothers, but I'm sorry, the old man in me gravitates to FTR. I just think they're the best team out there today. I love the way they wrestle. I love the way that they can work with pretty well any team and make them look good. Their matches are always exciting. They're old school guys. Tully with them is excellent. To me, it's FTR.
All right, Boris, what are you saying for this one?
All right, I'm going to have to play my Latino card on this one. This team has been able to get great matches out of the Bucks and FTR, so I'm going to have to go with Lucha Brothers.
The Lucha Brothers. Joe?
I like Mouth, I had a hard time with this because we watch AEW and there's so many good tag teams. And I mean, FTR is a great choice. Luchas are a great choice, but this year I picked the Young Bucks. I mean, they won the belts in November of 2020 and they were pretty much the champs, throughout the entire year before they lost the Luchas. And again, in yet another match of the year candidate and in a match that some people are calling, you know, arguably the greatest cage match ever.
And Mark, to round things out,
I will never not say Lucha Brothers. Let's be honest.
So Lucha Brothers, for this one, I picked, where are my picks? I picked the Young Bucks, and our patrons also picked FTR. Actually, I was going to say also picked the Young Bucks, but narrowly beating out the Young Bucks. FTR, 28% of the vote. The Young Bucks, 26% of the vote. The Lucha Brothers, 23% of the vote here. So obviously extremely yeah, close. Basically 25 for each of them right across the board. Just a couple votes going different ways with each of the tag teams. And I mean, the constant, though, is the fact that it's the AEW tag division that is so incredibly strong and providing so much variety. To there we go, best on the mic. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a clean sweep here, but along with that, it's a difficult category because we have seen so much great promo work this year. Best on the mic last year, I chose MJF. Mouth, you chose Moxley. Joe, you chose Moxley. Mark, you chose MJF. The patrons chose MJF. I'm wondering how many times here we are going to hear those three initials. Joe, kick us off with best on the mic for this year.
All right, I'll be the first guy, MJF. You know, you had really good promos in AEW, you know, Eddie Kingston, Mox when he was still around, but MJF was consistent throughout the entire year, you know, and I love his heel work. Definitely a throwback to how heels used to do promo back in the day.
Mark?
I have three different initials. Everybody's talking about MJF. We talked about MJF last year. We're probably going to talk about him again this year. My three initials, my three letters that I've picked are OGB, which is Original Bro, Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle from Best on the Mic. Listen, this guy is carrying the dead weight that is Randy Orton on the mic. You know what I mean? Every time he opens his mouth, he's hilarious. He's charismatic. He makes chicken salad out of chicken, what do you call it? What's the word? Chicken.
We could do poop or feathers because we might be on the radio feathers. With this.
Chicken feathers. I was looking for the one that, would be appropriate. Every time he says, Randy, I laughed my head off. So for Randy alone, I would say Matt Riddle on the mic.
All right, let's go to Mouth for your pick.
I'm picking MJF as well, but I want to make honorable mention of Eddie Kingston because I just think Eddie Kingston is incredibly entertaining with his promos. He always makes me laugh. He'll do some weird line or weird look at the camera and always makes me laugh. And MJF, though, is my pick because he always gets you gasping. You never know what he's going to say. And to me, that's what the guys on the mic are supposed to do. You just want to sit there and listen to them, right? And you want to hear what they have to say. So, yeah, MJF for sure.
Boris Randis, best on the mic.
As much as I'm a stoner, no Matt Riddle here. No way. No way. Sorry.
Boris.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with almost everyone else, and that's MJF. And the reason I picked MJF is this guy leans into being a heel. He's not trying to be a cool heel like Kevin Nash and everyone since Kevin Nash. This guy wants to be a heel, unless you're in Long Island. But for me, that was the clear thing that made me pick MJF is how many heels are there actually left in the industry? You can count them probably on one hand.
And the other thing too, to that, just to add to your point, Boris, he does it 24/7. His Twitter is heel. His Instagram, everything is heel. He stays in character. He shouts at little kids at signings. Like, he lives the part. He's a kayfabe guy in this era.
This is a guy that has said that he's going to spoil Spider-Man this weekend for everyone.
Oh, on boy. There you go. There you go.
Oh, wow. And as you can tell, we're taping this. The first weekend of Spider-Man. That would be huge. all right. I picked MJF as well. And as far as the patrons go, that was the over 50% of the vote. 54% of you picked MJF. And then number two, Eddie Kingston and CM Punk tied at 9%. And Roman Reigns actually slipped into the mix here at 7%, which is a curious choice for me considering... Yeah, he's good, but he's also got Paul Heyman by his side, which is kind of surprising that he was thrown into this mix. Now, that was on the male side of things for Best on the Mic. Let's go to the female side of things, Best on the Mic. Last year, I had Bayley. Mouth, you had Britt Baker. Joe, you had Bayley. And Mark, you had Bayley as well. Again, simply because she's not around, her presence isn't going to be there. So let's start with Mark on this one. Best on the Mic for the female side of things. Mark, what do you got?
This one was easy for me. And I know that probably nobody will agree, but I'm going to say Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan has a delivery that is earnest. She's got this new style delivery on the mic, which is wild to say, but you know, she's not overly, you know, when Charlotte talks, it sounds like she's been to a vocal coach, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. You know, like, it sounds like she's had training. Everybody sounds polished and professional. Liv's delivery is earnest. It's real. It's for the same reason that I like Veda Scott as an announcer, because there is no radio, quote unquote, radio voice on her. She's just talking. And Liv's message has been clear since the beginning. She delivers it well. She's got the fans behind her. Liv Morgan, 100% for me.
Oh, boy. All right, Mouth, let's go to you.
It's a two-peat for me. Britt Baker, once again. I just think she's fantastic. Again, she makes you turn up the volume when she's on. You stop what you're doing. You listen to what she has to say. People like Charlotte, to me, it might sound professional to Mark. She sounds like a robot to me out there. I cannot get any kind of emotional investment in Charlotte in the slightest. At least with Britt Baker, I feel something when I listen to her talk.
I'll say I didn't mind that Charlotte promo.
I
know some people didn't like it, but I liked it. I was saying uh-oh for at least a week after. Uh-oh. I mean, I did just have a kid, so we were...
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have a baby.
Yeah, that's different.
That doesn't count, Mark.
Well, considering WWE books their performers like preschoolers or, you know, like elementary school people, I'm not surprised.
If a wrestler came out and went goo goo gaga, okay, maybe, but, you know.
Boris, your pick, Best on the Mic on the female side.
Another three letters, and that's DMD, Britt Baker. Again, she leans into being a heel. It's so rare to see that. And it's, you know, it's very rare that I like really pay attention to promos. But anytime she speaks, it's something that I do pay attention to. And I'm thoroughly sports entertained. So it's Britt Baker for me.
Joe, round us out.
Okay, so disclaimer, if Becky Lynch had been around the entire year, I might have given it to her because I really like her on the mic. But this year, like Boris, DMD, Britt Baker, she's really nailed down the character, and she is, you know, she's one of the must-see things on AEW Dynamite.
Yeah, I agree. That's my pick as well. It's the patrons' pick also. 67% said Britt Baker, 18% said Becky Lynch, and 4% sliding in at number three, Deonna Purrazzo, finds her way onto Best on the Mic on the female side.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer, our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear. Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
All right, from there we go to the best on-air announcer. Last year, I took Tony Schiavone, as did Mouth, as did Joe, as did Mark, as did the patrons. Tony Schiavone just swept this category last year. Let's see if it is two for two with Schiavone. Mouth, who do you think best announcer this year?
Well, Tony Schiavone was spectacular, and as you said, he was my pick last year. But honestly, this year, I'm going to go with Excalibur because I really felt he came into his own this year. He's the true anchor of that team. And look at how many different guys Excalibur has to do commentary with, and he manages to make it work. He steers the ship. He takes it back on course when someone like Taz or someone or Jericho takes it into the rocks. He gets it back on course. I just think he's really come onto his own. And I think he's an excellent lead guy for that team.
Boris, who do you think?
Well, I'm going to go with a backstage reporter, and I'm going to lean into my gimmick. And it is the hardest working reporter in all of professional wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell.
And you're just going to leave it at that?
I'm just going to leave it at that. No, honestly, here's the thing. She's an NXT, right? Like in WWE, how often do these backstage reporters sound like robots? How often do they sound like they're just reading off a script? Maybe she does, but to me, she doesn't. To me, she sounds like she's actually talking to these people. She's trying to figure out what these people are actually wanting to say. And, you know, she honestly shows up on screen so often on NXT that she's like just part of this show at this point. So it's Mackenzie Mitchell for me.
Joe, where are you going with this?
You know what? I got to agree with Dan. Excalibur was my announcer of the year. You can really see his improvement from last year, and that's, you know, saying quite a bit. But I will say, though, my honorable mention goes to an announcer that I don't really watch a lot, and that's Wade Barrett. I wanted to give him a bit of a shout out, but Excalibur for sure.
And Mark?
Yeah, I'm also going to say Excalibur, but my shout out, and it's such a, it was so hard to not pick him, is Michael Cole. Michael Cole is a close second for a couple of reasons, and I will justify it. Michael Cole, Dan is currently giving me heat.
Dan's
for this.
Muted, and he's muted,
but he's
right
yelling.
Now.
I can see him.
you better have good reasons, Mark.
I will say this: we all know that these announcers on WWE get yelled at in their ear constantly. Right. So there he's getting, for the longevity alone, the fact that this man could do his job at all. I give him a lot of credit for that. I give him credit for the fact that he's being yelled at in his ear from somebody in a truck, I imagine. And now he's also being yelled at from the guy standing next to him. I can't imagine how difficult it would be to work under those circumstances. I think Michael Cole is given a harder time than he deserves. And I want to give Michael Cole some credit for that.
So I'm also, I'm going to pick yelling. Excalibur, but I have a similar point to you, Mark. My honorable mention is Jimmy Smith. When's the last time we said anything about Jimmy Smith? We haven't. No. And here's my point. When Adnan was there, everyone, Adnan's terrible. Adnan's awful. Cole's awful. This and that. If anything, Jimmy Smith is there as just the traffic cop. He came into this job with no experience in wrestling. Yes, he's done MMA, and he's done the job, and no one ever met. He's like an umpire in baseball, okay? No one ever mentions him, and that means he's doing his job perfectly. Yeah. So there's my honorable mention. But Excalibur is still my pick. As far as the patrons go, they did a repeat this year. Tony Schiavone, 37%. Excalibur number two, 22%. And Pat McAfee sliding in at 11%.
Yeah, baby.
Number three right there. We now go to best non-wrestling performer. and non-wrestling performer. Last year, I had Callous Mouth. You had Blanchard Joe. You had Reba standing beside Britt. And Mark, you had Don Callous as well. The patrons picked Paul Heyman. I mean, this is kind of the Paul Heyman honorary category because he was picked so many years in a row. But I think with AEW having so many performers that are not necessarily wrestling performers but are on screen, we do get a bit more of a variety here. So for this, let's start with Boris, best non-wrestling performer.
So I'm really digging deep on this one. It's so easy to say Paul Heyman, and that's kind of my honorable mention. But I'm going to go with Enforcer Samoa Joe from NXT. The few weeks that he was doing that role, he was honestly the best part of that show. He was like, as Matt would say, the Tony Soprano of Enforcers, where you just didn't want to mess with him. And I thought he did a great job at that role for as little time as he was in that role. I just really enjoyed what he did.
That was a very small amount of time to give him that for, but nice that you're giving us a variety. Joe, where are you headed to?
I actually took the easy way out, and I actually took Paul Heyman for this award. I remember last year, Mouth mentioned that he helped elevate Roman Reigns, and in 2021, continued to do so for pretty much the entire year, and that's why I'm picking Paul, is because it's the entire year. And then just when you think he gets boring, he has this interplay with Brock. You've got this Brock Roman thing now happening with Paul in the middle. So for me, Paul Heyman all the way.
I also enjoy his interaction with Kayla Braxton.
Oh, yeah.
He's made that such a gimmick backstage.
Absolutely.
He is actually helping Roman get over, Brock get over, and Kayla get over as an announcer. You know, Boris, you talked about Mackenzie Mitchell not being robotic. When Kayla's on screen with Paul, she's not robotic. And that's all thanks to Paul basically being on screen with her and pushing her up, bringing her up and allowing her the freedom to get to his level. Mark, next.
Yeah, I'm also saying Paul Heyman. That the interaction with him and Brock on that SmackDown, I mean, I know when we're recording this, but just last night when Brock showed up and there was this interaction between the two of them where it was very clear that Brock was the boyfriend that Paul Heyman wasn't over, and Brock knew it. And Brock came in and was like, "Hey, how's your boyfriend doing?" And Paul just stumbles on himself and he's like, "Oh, he's fine." And they just looked at each other like, "You're not over me. I'm not over you. All right." And that whole interaction has been the vibe for Paul Heyman this whole time. I think it's hilarious. He delivers it. I mean, there is no subtlety in what he's doing, and yet it is still very grounded. I think Paul Heyman's the best.
Well, there we go to Mouth. Mouth, who are you picking?
Yeah, I'm picking Paul Heyman as well, just because I thought he did. I mean, obviously the stuff with Roman, yeah, but to your point about Kayla Braxton, man, I mean, I just watched that the whole year, and I just found that amazing the way that those two developed such great chemistry. And like you said, that he allowed her to up her game so she could become more of a personality and not be a robot. So I'm going with Paul as well. I mean, honorable mention to Don Callis, but Paul really wins again this year.
Well, I am shocked that Don Callis has only been mentioned here for an honorable mention. This was the first category I filled in, and it was with Don Callis as the name. I love this guy this year. He made Kenny, much like Heyman made Reigns, Callis made Omega, and everything coming out of it, the character, the elite, the classic. I mean, it's so old school, Mouth. It's just so old school. You and Joe talk about it all the time. It's Heenan Bockwinkel, and it's modernized, and it's done so damn well. So Don Callis is my choice here. And actually, it's the patrons' choice as well. 33% of the vote go to Don Callis. Paul Heyman, very close, 29%. And then in third place, some of the most interesting picks are the third place picks. Tully Blanchard and Adam Pearce make their way on.
Wow.
Adam Pearce. Wow.
8% of the vote.
I'm kind of surprised that no one in the patrons picked Dan Lambert. I thought some people would pick him.
No.
He did. Not.
Lambert's there. He's in fourth. Which in Boris's tally, he wrote down Adam Lambert, but I'm pretty sure it's Dan, and no one is singing Queen songs on AEW television.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. From there, we go to most improved. This is an interesting category. So here we go. Last year, I had Raquel Gonzalez. Mouth, you had Britt Baker. Joe, Britt Baker. Mark, you had Carmella with an honorable mention to the Dark Order. This year, let's start things off with you, Mark, for your most improved performer of 2021.
I'm going to say Nia Jax, and I refuse to elaborate.
Well, you're putting yourself in a bit of a hole with that.
Oh, yes, I am. I will live here. I will stand by what I say, and I refuse to comment further. Nia Jax.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that then. And we, from Mark, we'll go to Mouth. Mouth?
I'm just a bit confused by what just happened. Okay.
Okay, we can talk about it.
This really seems a weird hill to pick your battle on, Mark, but whatever.
You don't think so? You don't think Nia Jax was greatly improved this year?
Wait a minute, do you mean improved because she's no longer on television? Is that why you mean improved? Because yeah, I think a lot of patrons would agree.
How dare you? Why would you? Would I say something like that?
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mouth, move
that
along
whole thing
and
was very
yeah.
Can come yeah. on. The whole thing was very funny, right?
I'm picking one, and I have to tip my hat to Joe because him and I had a chat about this, and I was having real trouble with this one. But it's basically similar to what happened with Britt Baker, and that's Miro. Miro came in, and they gave him that stupid gimmick with the video games and Kip and the wedding and all that crap. And then once he broke from that, and the new gimmick where he's dedicated to God and his wife, it's absolutely fantastic. A total improvement, 100%.
Yeah, Miro is actually who I picked as well, and I just have in a bracket, character correction.
Yes.
Which is, I think, what it is. And Joe, you're smiling and nodding right now. Are you headed the same direction?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, exactly what Dan said. And I'll just add that, like, he was a wrestler that Dan and I used to, you know, rail on during the All Elite Weekly podcast. And now he's become one of our favorite performers on AEW TV.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened with Britt Baker. The exact same thing. You know, she was really uncertain and nervous at first and not in a good place. And then once she got comfortable, she was good. It's just for Miro, like you said, Jay, he needed character correction. He got it. Now he's fantastic.
So Boris, being someone that covers NXT that has seen just a ton of new people show up, I'm kind of curious as to where you're going with this pick for most improved.
Yeah, so honestly, I'm going to have to pick Raquel Gonzalez this year. Let me justify it. Let me justify this. I know you're freaking out, but here, I have justification here. So last year, she like really hit her stride at the end of last year.
Yes, she improved last year.
The first Most. Half. The first half of this year, she was still in the uphill trajectory. Like, she was still going up. She finally got the belt. She was still improving.
You're describing her not being as good this year. You're literally saying she hit the top of the mountain and now she's sliding down. But anyway, okay, I'm sorry. I'm very surprised.
I know you are. And here's, honestly, she, booking aside, she is still killing it. She is still doing well. She's still one of the hottest acts in NXT, regardless of how she's been booked, regardless of how little TV time she's been getting the second half of the year. She has still, like, she's still improved from where she was last year, because this year she actually won the belt. She actually got the main event. She was in the main event or one of the main matches of Stand and Deliver.
Are you talking or are you done? I can't.
I'm
what
done.
What happened? Oh, you're done. Okay.
Wow.
Right.
So rude.
I didn't know what happened there. All right. So let's do the patrons here. I'm slightly confused on a couple. We had Nia Jax and we've had Raquel Gonzalez thrown out recently. So
there was lots to like about what Nia Jax did, man. There's lots to like.
Oh boy. Miro is, according to our patrons, the most improved, 18%. Britt Baker, number two, 13%. Number three, again, probably the most interesting, had Dante Martin and Jungle Boy, both at 8% here, standing out. Mouth is a huge, looked like he just ate a lemon with that.
I don't know if I would pick Dante Martin in that category. He's got some improving to go, I think.
All right. Well, that's what the patrons picked. We continue on. And we are now going to best comeback. So comeback, I had Hangman Page. Mouth had Dr. Britt Baker. This is for last year. Joe had Sami Zayn. And Mark had R-Truth with the 24/7 title. I don't remember what that was in reference to, Mark, but...
Jay, I think that was best gimmick, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's best gimmick.
Yeah.
Oh, comeback. Sorry. Yeah, you're right, Joe. You're right. So comeback of the year last year, I had Reigns, Mouth had Reigns. We all had Reigns, but Mark had MVP for comeback last year. The patrons said Edge for best comeback. My apologies. So let's go to Mark for this one. Best comeback of 2021, Mark.
This is a gimme, right? We're all going to pick the same thing. We're going to pick a performer that was away for a long time, that never really left our minds and our hearts, that worked on other projects in media, in other, like on television and other things while he was gone, and then came back to so much acclaim, to the fans being so happy he's back. And obviously I'm picking The Miz.
That was so obvious you were setting us up there. That was the most obvious setup I've ever seen in my life.
Well, so Mark, am I wrong here? The Miz. The Miz. Mark,
you're wrong. Miz, yeah, you're wrong.
Made a comeback, had a run on Dancing with the Stars. Mouth, go for it.
Oh, come on. To me, obviously, I'll take everything that Mark said with his goofy little setup there and apply it to the real guy that he should be talking about, and that's CM Punk. To me, this is what I have written down. CM Punk, is there any other pick? To me,
it should be a sweep, right?
There's no way you can put anyone above CM Punk's return. That was historic. That's going to be remembered for years.
Yeah. Boris?
I had non-wrestling fans watching this show with me.
Exactly.
At a bar on my phone. And then I whipped out my tablet and we were all watching it at a busy bar in the middle of August. And that's obviously CM Punk. We're talking about non-wrestling fans.
And Joe?
Yeah, CM Punk, for all the reasons stated.
Yeah, of course, I had it as well. I mean, we had it on Sunday Night's Main Event before everyone, sort of, kind of, with that interview. CM Punk, 64% of patrons said number two, Christian Cage, 11%, and Bryan Danielson, people said at 7%. So let's now go to
can I just change my pick? I forgot about CM Punk. I didn't even think about that. I'd like to change my pick to CM Punk. I hadn't even thought of that. You're right. Sorry, everybody. I got swept up in the other thing.
Sorry, you're stuck with Miz. You're stuck with Miz. Sorry. That blemish cannot be erased.
I love you, Mark Andrade. You're the awesome.
Best gimmick, guys, on this show is probably Mark's. But in the world of wrestling last year, Hangman Page for me, as I mentioned, Dr. Britt Baker for Mouth, Sami Zayn for Joe, and R-Truth in the 24/7 title for Mark for this one. Let's start with Joe. Joe, who do you got for the gimmick?
You know, as much of an AEW fan as I am, I have to go with Roman Reigns. I just thought that the whole head of the table, the tribal chief, you know, it started hot in 2021, and it's pretty much the best thing they got going on WWE TV right now.
All right. Mark, where are you going with best gimmick of this year?
It is a three-way tie between Reggie, R-Truth, and Tozawa with that with that nonsense title, Man Oh Man. Those three guys make me laugh almost every week. Reggie's coming into his own from Reginald, the sommelier, to just cool regular Reggie, who does flips for no reason, is great. I love it.
They are entertaining, man.
Yeah. Three-way tie for best gimmick for me.
Mouth?
I'm picking mine for the same reason that Mark picks his, is that this guy always makes me laugh and I love his promos, but I'm picking Miro. I just love the new gimmick where he's possessed by God and his beautiful wife, and like shooting these vignettes in a white void and just having him ranting and raving. I love it. I mean, and I think part of it also comes because he was stuck with such a horrible gimmick before this, and this is just so much better. So I'm picking Miro.
I would guess 2022, we finally see Lana in the reveal, right?
You'd think. I mean, I said on the podcast, though, I would be happy if she never showed up and he just talked about her, but we never saw her.
Vera from Cheers gimmick for the old school fans out there.
Right. That's right.
Or Jim Cornette's mama.
That's right. Exactly. Cornette would always talk about his mother. We never saw her.
Boris, to you.
Clearly, I'm going to have to go with Raquel Gonzalez again. I'm joking. It's Danhausen. How can you not love some Danhausen? Yeah. Everything he's doing, he's beyond wrestling at this point. He showed up on Team Coco podcast. He's kind of getting out there with non-wrestling fans, and everything he does from his vlogs and him trying to get an AEW has just been fantastic. Danhausen has just been so much fun to watch this year. And, you know, with ROH gone, who knows where he'll end up.
So best gimmick for the patrons. Oh, for me, first of all, best gimmick, I picked the tribal chief. It's one of the few things that is done very well from all sides. And I mean, that includes Heyman and Reigns, the Usos, and now Lesnar thrown into the mix. So it's pretty good for WWE SmackDown. For, I guess, the SmackDads get to watch that each week. Best gimmick from the patrons, 16% said MJF, 12% said Danhausen, 3% said, 8% said Miro in third, and then fourth, Matt Cardona on the indies sneaks in there as well, who's really gotten away from the whole Zack Ryder thing to be doing something new. We then go to a category for breakout performer of the year. Last year, I chose Kyle O'Reilly, Mouth, you chose John Silver, as did Joe, and Mark, you chose Orange Cassidy. So with that in mind, Mouth, where are you going this year for breakout performer of 2021?
Well, this is a guy that, when, you know, when he came into the promotion, it wasn't a lot of big fanfare, and I was kind of like, okay, whatever. I mean, I'd remembered him with Lax and all that kind of stuff, but I was never super hot on him.
Well, I love I'm you sorry. Still call it Lax, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Eddie Kingston, I'm picking Eddie Kingston, man. He really came onto his own this year. He became a distinct character. He had, even though he had that wicked short feud with Punk, everybody was totally captivated by the way they handled it. I just love his badass character and his in-ring technique, all influenced by classic All Japan. So I was really glad to see him kind of come to the forefront, and he's one of the top guys in AEW now.
From there we go to Boris for your breakout performer of 2021.
Right, and this is the breakout star winner of the NXT tournament, and that is Carmelo Hayes. I think that he's just done an amazing job with what little we've seen him in the year, and he just keeps improving. Gargano or a Dunn, and he's all, and you throw, you know, just about anyone, fantastic job. Both Mike and in the ring, so I have to give it to Carmelo Hayes.
All right, your audio broke out a little bit there. We'll fix that if it continues. Carmelo Hayes was Boris's pick. That did come out clear before you started stuttering. So hopefully that corrects itself as we are still living in this world where we're not together doing this. From there we go to Joe. Joe, who's your breakout performer of 2021?
Easily Bianca Belair. She came in, she had a really hot start of the year winning the Rumble. You know, she was in women's title match at WrestleMania. She's awesome in the ring. She's wrestled at or near the top of the card of the women's division for a majority of the year. And if she tightens up her promos a bit more, I could see her being or contending for female wrestler of the year for a long time.
Yeah, it's tough to say tighten up your promos when you're in WWE and you're scripted, which is unfortunate.
I know.
Yeah.
But it can be done. It can be done.
Mark, breakout performer 2021.
Yeah, there was a story about this guy this year that was, you know, people were saying that he didn't know how over he was. And now I think he knows. And it's, I'm agreeing with Dan, it's Eddie Kingston. The guy is just, I mean, he's been incredible for a long time, but I think he really had his breakout this year.
I guess hence the name of the category.
Yeah.
Yeah. My pick for it is a guy who showed up and just seems to be at the top of the NXT mountain and is now the face of NXT. It's Bron Breakker. Is the breaker out performer this year. And we'll see what that means. Like, let's face it, this guy could be on the main roster as of next year. I wouldn't be at all surprised. Everything seems to lead to Bron Breakker in WWE right now as, you know, the first one to come out of the new NXT. As far as what our patron said, 21%, Mouth, you're going to hate this, considering your reaction previously. Dante Martin.
Wow, I just don't see it. I think he's got a ways to go before he breaks out. He really's got to work on his character.
Miro at 11%, number two, and number three, Braun Breaker at 8%. Daniel Garcia is fourth with 6%.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle,
RK-Bro,
Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Great seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty parts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy.
Now, this category is, boy, I don't think we hear any other category referenced throughout the year as much of this one. Match of the year. Match of the year 2021. We have a match and it's just like, oh, match of the year candidate, match of the year contender. Got to be 5 stars, got to be 6 stars, Meltzer 7 stars, blah, blah, blah. So we hear it all the time. So let's do it here. Our matches of the year. Now, last year, let me review here. Last year, I had the Bucks versus FTR at Full Gear, which was their love song to tag team wrestling. Mouth, you had Ibushi versus Tai Chi at G1. Joe, you had the Best Friends versus Inner Circle in a parking lot. And Mark, you had the Bucks versus Page and Omega at Revolution. The patrons picked Omega and Hangman versus the Bucks at Revolution as well. So let's start things off with this. Joe, you get first stab at your match of 2021.
Okay, so this is actually on behalf of the patrons. All right. So originally I was going to pick Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker, the unsanctioned match at St. Patrick's Day Dynamite. But after Wednesday, and especially after a lot of the patrons said that they could change their pick, I'm actually going to pick Hangman versus Danielson from December 15th, the 60-minute match, which didn't feel like a 60-minute match. It was nothing fancy, just great intensity, great selling. It was a fight and kept me engaged the entire time. That's my pick.
All right, Mark, what's your pick for match of the year?
I was also going to do exactly what Joe was going to do. I was going to, for the patrons and for myself, I was going to pick that match on Dynamite. But since Joe already did it, I'm going to do for Joe what Joe did for the patrons, and I'm going to pick Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa's unsanctioned match.
All right, Mouth?
Yeah. I just have honorable mention to Shingo Takagi against Tomohiro Ishii in the G1 tournament on September the 18th. Really just a tough battle back and forth. It was kind of based on who can take the most punishment. Just a really great, intense New Japan match. But my winner as well, and I didn't pick it for the patrons, and I didn't pick it for Joe, and I didn't pick it for Mark Andrade. I picked it for me, and that's Hangman Page versus Brian Danielson. Brian's the best heel going right now. They told an amazing story in that match. The transitions where each guy would get it back in control were all believable, handled great. Crowd was into the whole thing. As Joe mentioned, it never got boring or dragged. And it's also an amazing first title defense for Hangman Page as champion, and also making the belt really mean something.
Yeah, all true points. All right, Boris, round us out here.
Yeah, so on obviously honorable mention to Paige and Danielson, but I'm going to have to go with NXT TakeOver 36, Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. That match has had it all. You know, for an NXT match, people were just talking about it, like, just for weeks and months even. And I think just because it took place so early and it took place before NXT broke up, a lot of people are forgetting of that match. But Walter versus Ilya Dragunov, TakeOver 36.
My pick is going to be the Thunder Rosa Britt Baker lights out match. I thought it was pretty fantastic. And it is Well, it's mentioned in fourth place for Match of the Year from the patrons with 5%. Third place is MJF versus Darby Allin at Full Gear, got 9% of the vote. Second place, the Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks in a steel cage at All Out, got 28% of the vote. And in first place, Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega at Dynamite Grand Slam, got 30% of the vote. And yes, I think there's an asterisk beside that because the patrons had to vote before they could see Page versus Danielson. Uh-huh. So do keep that in mind in your ratings, if you do keep the ratings in mind. Moving along to Feud of the Year. Last year, I had Inner Circle versus The Elite. Mouth, you had Moxie versus Kingston. Joe, you had AEW versus NXT. That is a clear winner this year. And Mark, you had Mox versus Suzuki. The patrons chose Reigns versus Jey Uso. Wow, think back to that. And now let's get into this, and let's start with Boris on this one for your Feud of the Year 2021.
Yeah, so this feud has been going on for at least the second half of the year, and that's Brock versus Roman. Considering where it's taking place, considering how kind of shackled they are to a certain extent with promos, this feud has honestly kept everyone intrigued, and it's probably the best thing happening in the company. Well, actually, it is the best thing happening in WWE. And, you know, it's all the performers are just giving it their all, and it's been a ton of fun. So it's Brock versus Roman.
Yeah, it's going to continue on as well, as we can see. Looks to be WrestleMania. All right, from there, let's go to Joe for the next pick.
Actually, I went back to NXT Black and Gold, and I'm picking Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly. I thought this feud was pretty intense, leading to, you know, three great matches at Stand and Deliver, the American Bash, and the 2 out of 3 falls at TakeOver 36.
Mark, where are you heading with your feud of 2021?
This is the 24/7 title, the Tozawa, Reggie, and R-Truth feud for the three-way title has been, you know, riveting entertainment this entire time, with an honorable mention to MJF and Jericho.
All right, an honorable mention to MJF and Jericho. Okay, cool. Mouth, where are you headed?
Is there a reason we do this with a comedian? Is he just there to like throw out jokes the whole time?
Yes. Yeah, because we're the lighter side of the world of wrestling podcasts. We don't care as much as others.
For my feud of the year, I picked one that I didn't think anybody would pick, but I thought would be really great, and it should be mentioned. And rarely does a tag team feud get picked for feud of the year. But I picked the FTR against the Lucha Brothers, with both teams having a set of different belts with two different promotions, so you could have matches in either promotion. I love how they used the real-life injury of Cash to really up the angle and really make it look tough. And the whole thing with Cash being the wrong man getting pinned in the title match. I just think these two teams are great. The matches are always good. The match at Full Gear was awesome. So I'm picking FTR and the Lucha Brothers.
My feud of the year was the WWE versus their fans, and how they continue to lose them. WWE is winning this feud. This is the one thing they're not doing parody booking in, because they never let the fans win.
Excellent pick, Jay. I love it. Excellent
feud of the year. Patron picks. 31% said Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page. Number 2, Inner Circle versus The Pinnacle at 13%. And number 3 had a three-way tie. Roman versus Brock. MJF versus Punk. MJF versus Chris Jericho at 6%. Now, moving on to the angle of the year. And Mark, I'm going to go with you first on this one, because you've already spit out the Tozawa and R-Truth 24/7 thing, so I don't think you can pick that for angle of the year as well, so you're going to have to come up with something fresh.
Right, and so this one's coming late in the game, and that's Dana Brooke winning the 24/7 title. So when that happened and all the guys in the ring stopped and didn't know what to do with themselves, oh boy, that was great stuff.
All right, let's go to Mouth from there. Mouth, is Dana on your list? Maybe next week.
Could you imagine?
My-
Could you imagine?
My favorite part is the way he does it with a straight face. I love it. I love it. He does it with a straight face. Unbelievable. Honestly, my favorite angle was one that happened very quickly, but I'm a big fan, as you know, of the angles that come out of reality. And so I really loved Eddie Kingston just going after Punk because of the way Punk treated him way in the past. I thought it was great. They had footage to back it up. They got to, both guys were really strong in their promos. And it was believable. We've all been held back. We know what that feels like. And it shows you that angles can be the simplest of simple things. They don't need to be complicated. And this one, it was thrown together very quickly, and everybody loved this angle. So that's it. Eddie Kingston going after Punk in his past relationship.
Boris, your angle of 2021.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to go with New Japan on this one, and that's the multiple IWGP champions with Okada, Shingo, and Will Ospreay. I'm just loving this, and it's happening on different sides of the world, and it's going to probably culminate at Wrestle Kingdom.
So oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with the multiple IWGP champions.
Joe.
Actually, this year, I kind of went with the story of Hangman Page. You know, from the fall to the subsequent rebuilding, you know, culminating with him winning the AEW belt from Omega. And, you know, when I say this, like regarding Hangman Page, it's not just about him. It's like, you know, there's the Elite, there's Kenny becoming the belt collector, all of these sort of, you know, storylines intermingled, you know, to sort of build, you know, up to this, that win for Adam Page. So I got to go with that. And who says long-term storytelling doesn't work in wrestling?
My best angle of 2021, and it's something that ran through the whole year and ultimately ended, was Don Callis beside Kenny Omega as the AEW champion. I know, man, I know I mentioned it earlier, but the fact that it ran through of him dominating AEW and then ultimately did have the culmination with Hangman Page, and now it's been transferred over, and Kenny's full on gone away. Like, we're just not going to see Kenny anymore. He's got to go get surgically repaired. So that is my angle of this year. I forgot to review the patrons from last year. So last year, patrons, you had Omega and... the patrons... Did we do our angles from last year? Did I go through those? I can't remember. I don't think I did. So my angle from last year was actually the same. It was Omega and Callis. Mouth, you had MJF joining the Inner Circle last year. Joe, you had Britt Baker's heel turn. And Mark, you had the IWGP title unification at Wrestle Kingdom. Very similar to Dana Brooke. This year, we have the best angles... MJF and CM Punk mic wars already listed here at 25% of the patrons saying that. And then we had Adam Page's road to the AEW title, 20%. And Paul Heyman, whose side is he on? 10% for best angle. Best pay-per-view is where we go next. Now, last year's pay-per-view picks, I had the Rumble. Mouth, you had the G1 on October 10th. Joe, you had AEW Revolution. And Mark, you seconded that with AEW Revolution. The patrons picked AEW Full Gear and AEW Revolution. Mouth, what's your pay-per-view of this year?
Well, All Out was great, but honestly, I thought Full Gear from AEW was the better show. It got off to such a killer start there with three amazing matches with Darby and MJF and FTR and the Luchas and Brian versus Miro. It also had the title change with Paige winning the title. We had Punk and Eddie Kingston. Full Gear is the show for me.
Boris.
Yeah, so Full Gear was better wrestling, but, you know, what gave me the happy tingles on the inside and the outside was All Out.
Yeah, All Out is where I'm going here as well, because All Out had all the debuts on it, and the debuts were done so well. Let's go to Joe.
Yep, same thing. I went back and forth with Full Gear and All Out, but ultimately picked All Out for the reasons that actually you said, Jay. You had the debuts, and that was huge.
Mark?
Wow, we are really splitting the vote. I know I'm doing bits, but this one I'm actually being serious, because if I cannot just pick every episode of Monday Night Raw as pay-per-view of the year because I feel like I am paying every time I view it, then I will pick Full Gear.
But it's worse. You're not paying in money. You're paying in emotional anguish.
Exactly. I'm paying with my heart.
With your time.
My time.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? I agree wholeheartedly with everything Dan said. Yeah, like there was a lot of hype and a lot of fun and a lot of tingles on that on All Out. But I thought as a show, I enjoyed Full Gear so much more. Not so much more, but more.
Well, when it came down to it, the best pay-per-view of the year, of course, both of those were number one and number two. But the crazy thing about it is the amount of difference in votes. Full Gear was second place with 18% of the vote, and AEW All Out, our patrons had 70% voting for that pay-per-view. So clearly, the debuts and showmanship there at AEW All Out was what really tickled people this year. Let's talk best promotion, as that is our next category. And last year, best promotion was straight up AEW, all of us, including the patrons, at 78% last year. Will it be a sweep once again? And will the patrons go even higher this year? So promotion started off, Boris.
It has to be AEW. How can it not be AEW? It's kept me entertained with wrestling. It's kept me into wrestling. And, you know, it's by far gives me the most bang for buck and the most the fat and happies after I'm done watching it. So it's AEW by far.
Joe.
AEW all the way. You know, they actually give wrestling fans what they want. What a novel concept.
Mouth.
Do you have to ask?
Yep, gotta be. And Mark?
I cannot believe Dan Lavransky said promotion of the year is WWE. That is blowing my mind. I can't believe we're disagreeing on this, Dan. I'm going to say AEW. I'm surprised. I'm just shocked that Dan would say WWE. I'm shocked.
I, of course, said the same thing, and our patrons this year, let's remember, so last year's vote, the patrons had 78% saying AEW. This year, 91% saying AEW.
Wow.
4% said WWE, and the other ones were split between NWA, ROH, WWE, and NXT UK. Or NXT.
Wow.
So there you go, 91%. I believe the highest out of everything, except this next category actually comes close as well. So best television show last year was a clean sweep to Dynamite. And last year, the patrons had 74% saying Dynamite. So what did we say this year? Lavransky, the TV show that you review every week, I'm guessing is your choice.
You got it, man. Light the fuse. Dynamite does it every week.
Boris?
I'm going to have to go with NXT UK. I honestly love that hour. It just flies by, and it's usually three great matches. So it's NXT UK for me.
Joe.
Dynamite. It's the only show that I, you know, would go out of my way to watch live.
Mark.
For the CM Punk return alone. I mean, we're like we all talked about earlier, we're going to talk about that forever. So Dynamite.
Yeah, we definitely will. I picked Dynamite as well. The patrons this year picked it too. Last year, as I said, 74%. This year, it's up. 87% of people said Dynamite, 6% said SmackDown, and I think that that is solely based on Roman, Brock, and Paul, and that is why SmackDown even registers there. So not so bad for the SmackDads every week. They at least have the best WWE show that I guess doesn't include the NXT brand, Boris. I get it. Best supporting media is our next category. Now, last year, I had Dark Side of the Ring Season 2. Mouth and Joe, you both had BTE. And Mark, you had BTE as well. Patrons had BTE with 25%, so being the elite there. Supporting media this year. Let's start things off with you, Joe.
I had a hard time with this one because I don't really keep up with a lot of, I didn't keep up with a lot of the supporting media this year. And I don't consider Dark or Elevation supporting because they're technically wrestling shows.
Yeah.
So I did read Mox though, and I really like the book. So that's what I'm picking.
Yeah. I mean, that's a viable pick. I think this used to be the book category.
Yes.
And then we had to spread it out, right, Mouth? Cause there aren't as many books out there. So Mouth, why don't you go next?
I picked Dark Side of the Ring season 3. I didn't feel that BTE, I don't know. I found I wasn't as much attracted to it as I was the year before. And Dark Side of the Ring, it's dark. There's no doubt about it, but yeah. The shows are very captivating and I enjoyed watching that show. I couldn't think of anything from WWE outside of like for the network or anything. So Dark Side of the Ring it is.
I was kind of surprised you didn't pick The Bump, but maybe we'll hear about that next week. Boris, where are you going with this?
I'm going to have to agree with Joe on this one, and that's Mox by John Moxley. Just like an incredible book. The way he talks, and it just honestly sounds like a brain dump. And that's what I love most about the book. It's like, look, I'm lucky to be here, and this is my story, and it was just really well done. So it's got to be Mox.
All right. Now, for this, I also chose Dark Side of the Ring Season 3, but I remember last year's podcast and how Mark Andrada railed on Dark Side of the Ring. So Mark Andrada, final pick for this particular category, Best Supporting Media.
Best Supporting Media for me is it's a segment or it's a program rather that that supports wrestling, that like promotes it and does all that. And it's the Scott Stanford segment on Raw every week. That regional where he tells us where they're going to be. He tells us sometimes what might happen on those house shows in terms of the card. Maybe, perhaps he doesn't know for sure. He doesn't know, but he presents it like he might. He comes out and he says, I might know. And I go, you might. I believe that you might. And for that, I think Scott Stanford is underrated. I think that segment is underrated. And I'm excited. I'm exhilarated by it every time it comes on my television.
So Best Supporting Media.
Because he is your pal. He's your pal. He's your buddy. That's what he always says.
He is. Scott Stanford here, everybody.
He's your pal. He's your buddy, Scott Stanford.
You know what's wild is that I watch Raw every week. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of that segment. What is it? The Raw Report? What does he call it?
Is it news? No, isn't it WWE News or something like that?
None of us know. We watch it all the time. None of us know. And you know what? And I think that's a testament to the talent of Scott Stanford, because I remember Scott and I remember the content. And he's so charismatic and he's so good at his job that I do not remember the name of the show.
Oh, that's bugging me now. What is it?
Oh, trust me, I Googled it and couldn't find it. So, I mean, best of luck.
That's hilarious. Good pick. Mark, I like that one.
Thank you. The supporting media, being the elite. I believe, and now, Boris, there is a discrepancy here because you have Dark Side of the Ring at 27%. So I do think that that's actually number one. Being the elite is number two, is 16% in the Broken Skull Sessions, which is pretty. You know, that's one of the things. I have WWE as my like default when I turn on my television. And every time I turn it on and a Broken Skull Session interview is on, the lady friend walks down and goes, sorry, are we watching this? Why are you not changing the channel? Because I get caught up in these stories when Austin's being told this, like the guys are just sitting there drinking beer and talking. And I actually really like those, but my vote is Dark Side of the Ring. I went out of my way to watch each and every one of those this year for good, for better or for worse. It is my favorite.
Supporting local is more important than ever. Grab your morning coffee from a local cafe. Purchase fresh bread from your local bakery. Visit your neighborhood mom and pop shop, or visit their online store. Secure your lunch or dinner from a bar or restaurant on your block. Local business needs your love, your support. Prop up your neighbors, man. Shop local. Your purchases, that money, it stays within your community. Now crack a beer as a reward, because you deserve it, and so do they. Supporting local never tasted so good. A kind message from your friends at Great Lakes Brewery. GLB, brewed for you, Ontario.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Biggest industry story. Now, last year, this was a clean sweep for COVID. And COVID's been with us all year, and it's ramping up again this year, going into Christmas here with Omicron. 40% of patrons said COVID last year. So what is the biggest industry story of this year? We'll go back to Mouth to start this one off. The biggest industry story of 2020.
Well, I don't think it's COVID now. I think we're kind of used to that. And I think we're used to all of that. It's not the shock it was. I had two different ones here. AEW continuing to be competitive with WWE, I think, is a really big story, even though they're never, ever going to take them out or anything. But they are very competitive with them. But I'm also intrigued by this idea from the WWE and their new approach to creating stars for the future and basically just recruiting great athletes and trying to turn them into wrestlers. I think that's going to become a very interesting story over the next year. And I'm very curious to see how that works out and if they have any success with that. So that's kind of the one I'm intrigued by.
All right. So biggest industry story, Boris, what's yours?
Mine is Triple H being blamed for the loss against AEW and the fall of Triple H. That just rocked everything. It changed NXT completely. And, you know, I think we're still seeing some of the fallout from that. And, you know, I know that Triple H has had health issues probably related from that. And, you know, we'll see when he comes back what ends up happening. Like at this point, even Triple H could be released.
Joe. That's called a divorce, by the way, Boris.
You've been released from this marriage. Oh, jeez. Good luck on your future endeavors.
Yeah, that's right. Good luck on your future dating.
For this year, I went with all the comebacks. I mean, obviously, CM Punk was, you know, the biggest one, but you also had like Christian, you know, Shibata's going to make an appearance at Wrestle Kingdom. You had Brock come back. You had Becky come back, and even Cena. With a match. So that wasn't too shabby at all.
I didn't want to interrupt Joe there, but could you imagine there's a wrestling app for dating fans and it's called Future Endeavors?
That'd be awesome. Yes.
All right, Mark, what do you got?
So this one was a tight race for me, and the honorable mention of the very close number two is all the releases that WWE has put
mine.
Out this year.
That's mine, because it was every time I thought it was done, Mark, there was another batch that I'm talking to Meltzer about on the weekend. Like it was pure insanity. So that's mine.
That's my number two, only because I think it's teeing up what will be the biggest story of next year.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is over. I think this is still ramping up, and I imagine something's going to play out sooner than later. Maybe for sale style or maybe just a restructuring of how they do everything. Who knows? Who knows what it'll be? So my biggest industry story is, and we talked about it earlier, non-wrestling fans were messaging me about it. Old lapsed fans were messaging me about it. I mean, my goodness, my uncle, my Tito Ron messaged me about it, like CM Punk returning. Huge story.
All right. So that's your biggest industry story. Now, that does lead into what I think many people may say the best moment of 2020 is. Oh, but before we get there, sorry, biggest industry story from our patrons, the vote. Well, 39% said WWE cuts and releases, 20% said CM Punk's return, and then biggest industry story, 15% was AEW versus WWE for your votes this year. Now,
when I'm on me boat battling the waves trying to gather me fish, it takes two important factors. A keen eye and a peeled ear. Me pappy told me, when you least expect it, expect it. And don't let a little choppy water get in your way. So when I pops the top of me Lake Effect IPA, I don't fret when the crest of a wave slaps me hard and I spill a little bit down me chin. I think of it as a favor, cause it's not too often out here that I gets to wash me beard. Go with the Lake Effect. It'll guide you right every time.
Lake Effect IPA, now available at an LCBO near you, the GLB retail store, and GreatLakesBeer.com. Thanks for listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. If you're not getting enough wrestling just on Sunday nights, Keep in mind, we do shows each and every day on our Patreon. Join us at patreon.com/SNME radio and get coverage of everything that goes on in the world of wrestling, including reviews of Monday Night Raw, AEW Dynamite, and NXT. Patreon.com/SNME radio.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle,
RK-Bro,
Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Great seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
Best moment of 2021 is our final category here. Last year, you guys picked your best moment of 2020. I picked Winter is Coming, which had Kenny and Dawn and Sting was my best moment. Mouth, your best moment last year is Omega running away with the AEW title. Joe, you had Edge returning at the Royal Rumble. And Mark, you had Omega running away with the title as well for yours. The patrons were all about returns. They had Sting and Edge returning. Both were at about 25% last year. So this year, best moments could very well be all about returns. Lavransky, kick it off with your best moment as a professional wrestling fan of the year 2021.
All right. Well, I have two here, and I'm going to leave the CM Punk return because I think a lot of people are going to pick that. For me, I have to go with the stuff where I really like jump off the couch and or I'm really emotional about something. So there's two. The first off, the appearance of Minoru Suzuki and Tomohiro Ishii on AEW. That made me literally jump off the couch with excitement. And Joe and I had talked about that for months on the podcast. So that for me, but honestly, the emotional one was the handling of the passing and the memory of John Huber in AEW. Mm. Just the way that was all handled and with what they've done with the family and stuff like that and made the memorial. I just thought in a sport that's usually ruthless, cruel, vicious, will throw you to the curb at a moment's notice. I was just really taken by that. And I thought that was really, really an amazing moment.
Boris, to you for your best moment of being a wrestling fan in the year 2021.
It is fans returning to arenas and performing in front of crowds again. That was huge. Like, you know, regardless of, you know, how you feel about WWE crowds or whatever, or the obnoxious AEW crowds or whatever you want to say about any crowd, having them back, it just felt somewhat normal. It just felt good. It just felt like, hey, things could be getting back to our status quo.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
That's why I stuttered.
Yep, we're recording this on the 18th of December. So right now, that is a very valid point. We'll see how long it lasts. Joe, to you.
Like Dan said, it would be easy to say CM Punk's return, which was a definite moment. But I'm going to go back to the Women's Casino Battle Royal at All Out. And when Ruby Soho came out and when she won the thing, you could really see the emotion on her face and how happy she was. You know, like there was a moment when after she wins, she says, "Hi, Bryce." You could see her say that to the ref, and that like that look, that emotion, it was amazing. You could really feel it. And like, to me, that's when wrestling is at its best.
Mark, to you for your best moment of 2021, being a wrestling fan.
Well, dang, I thought everybody was going to say CM Punk returning. So I picked something different. Great, Joe, really great Ruby Soho. Yeah, Ruby Soho is a great, I want to agree with you on that big time. But my best moment is, it's my personal best moment. The same way Dan got excited about the things that Dan likes, I'm going to get excited about my D&D group for my birthday bought me a Danhausen cameo. And for me, that is the greatest moment of my year.
That
Danhausen.
Can we see it? We need to see that.
You know what? I'll put it on the page, and I'll put it up when we're not recording.
Yeah, we need to see that.
Danhausen's cameo to me for my birthday was awesome. So that's my best wrestling moment of the year.
Well, I mean,
shout out CM Punk.
I guess this is the category to be a little selfish, because I'm going to pick one that's incredibly selfish.
Yep.
And mine is CM Punk not being a dick to me when I interviewed him. Listen, before that interview, I think before his AEW debut, all, you know, there was the worry about him being poisonous in AEW. And seeing CM Punk on Zoom with me made me realize that, oh my goodness, this guy is a different person than when he left WWE. This guy is even a different person than from when he did that Colt Cabana podcast, and he was still so angry. The anger had passed away. I was sitting here, and listen, we're not doing this on Zoom, but I was sitting here before the interview started. When he popped on, he immediately looked at my Wrestling with Shadows poster, and we had a little chat about Bret Hart and how much the title should mean. And at that point, I knew, I'm like, oh, Punk's going to have a nice conversation with me and not be a complete dick. And then he just played along with me asking him questions. And then at the end of that interview, realizing that he wasn't doing any other wrestling interviews, clearly my best moment, my favorite moment as a wrestling fan of 2021. But it wasn't even the exclusive. Honestly, the point here is not the exclusive. The point here was that we got to have a good chat, and he just, you know, there's that certain thing. I had this with Stephen Page this year, the Bare Naked Ladies, is never meet your heroes, right? And Punk is someone that I've loved so much for his mic skills, and I was just worried that he was going to be a complete dick, and it's going to ruin everything he's done and everything he goes on to do. And if anything, it just made me like him as a person more doing this interview. So to round it on out, I think that's actually a nice way to finish the Sunday night's main event best of 2021 show with a Sunday night's main event moment. We thank all of you for hanging out with us for the whole year. And get ready, folks. 1 week from now, it is most likely your favorite show of the year when negativity is positivity.
That's right.
Next week.
It's therapeutic.
The therapy session will be in session one week from today with our worst of 2021. There's a lot to talk about. So, guys, thank you all for taking time out on this lovely morning with me here. We're going to duck into the afternoon. We're going to duck into the worst of. And you guys, all of you patrons, will hear it 1 week from today. All right, you know what comes now. This show is over, but I'm going to encourage you to join our Patreon, patreon.com/snmeradio. You get a commercial-free extended version of the Sunday Night Show, and you also get all of our podcasts. But you know that already, so sign up, would ya? Please? $1 a week, patreon.com/snmeradio.